This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
One of these guys is taking the biggest step of his life.
She is incredible.
Who will it be? Find out who's getting married on the next LA Law. NBC Thursday.
It is May 1991 and everyone's mad. Basic Instinct isn't even filmed yet, but queer advocacy groups are already protesting Joe Esterhaz's screenplay. 28 Penguin Books authors take out an ad accusing the publisher of offering better deals to writers in the UK than the US. Future Pamela Ribbon colleague Evan Handler quits I Hate Hamlet mid-performance after getting injured during a sword fight. And this town you're living in is so weird. They don't even start The Tonight Show on time. It's at 11:35. You've never heard of anything so stupid that... Oh, wait, it says here that NBC's made this change at all its affiliates nationally. Never mind. You don't care too much about any of that because you've got $300 to spend. It's more money than you've ever held in your life. Should you literally share the literal wealth with a charity like People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals? They'll definitely never do anything embarrassing with it. Should you spend some of it on independent artists like the ones making Icarus, a new quarterly journal for teenagers, or to the creators of the zine Bad Seed? How else are they gonna keep being able to afford ink and paper and berets and black tights? Or should you just throw it at the major corporations who put out the movie The Doors and the new REM album Out of Time because the way they got to be major corporations was by knowing how to entertain you consistently and thoroughly? Well, you don't have to decide this very second, so take a break and see if the latest issue of your favorite magazine has any useful tips. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
Hello, Only Dave.
Hi, Only Tara.
We are without Pam.
Yep, fired. Fired for giving us incorrect information on the toxicity of plastic bags last week.
Yes.
We will not stand for it, and we have eliminated from the podcast.
It runs a real tight ship.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a correction on our Teen Life episode. Pam had found a source about lead paint in disposable produce bags. It basically was like a pro-plastic AstroTurf site,
yep.
But where Pam really is, I think, an animation convention or conference in Mexico. We hope to have her back for the next episode, God willing. What now? 3 years ago in Sassy, Christina writes, Catherine, quote, I felt sorry for the mass murderer, end quote, Guyzin, wrote about Tina Mancini, a teenage stripper who committed suicide. The first of many mentions of Sassy pet actor Alex Winter appeared on page 65. Photos of then 17-year-old Simone modeling bathing suits prompted a call from Johnny Depp's publicist, who was trying to set up a fashion shoot with the model and Johnny so he could meet her. Whoa! Let's stop right there, because...
Sassy magazine turned into an underage trafficking operation so slowly nobody noticed.
This is so... And they're so matter-of-fact about it. It's like...
Release the Sassy files.
Yeah. Christina's angle is, this was all before he met the really true love of his life, Winona Ryder. We did set up the shoot, what? But by then, Johnny had lost interest or had a change of schedule, so he canceled. Maybe what the change of schedule was looking at a calendar and realizing how old he is relative to this girl, because it's not 17
yeah.
in 1991, or 3 years ago, 1988.
Crazy that they put that in print. I mean, crazy that that was not an issue at the time, really.
Yeah.
Didn't occur to anybody.
Yeah. I've been watching Gidget, Dave, mm-hmm. as you know.
Yeah.
The adorable, usually, sitcom from 1965 to 66, sure. a one-season wonder, still made 32 episodes because that's how they rolled back then.
Yep.
There are multiple episodes about her getting crushes on boys that are way too old, including one where the guy is 24. He's a photographer. So this is a running theme of if you want to get with an underage girl, just put a camera around your neck. Played by Daniel J. Travanti, future Hill wow. Street Blues star. And they're like, he's a grad student who's 24 and she is canonically 15 and yep. a half. So
he better be careful out there.
Yeah, yes. And her whole family knows about it. And there's no conversation of like, well, let's just call the police and he'll yeah. leave her alone. Like, it turns out to be fine because she gets a huge crush on him because she mistakes his attention. He is engaged to an age appropriate woman. So that's how he gets out of it. But still, yeah. damn Gidget. Yikes.
Yeah. Wow.
And damn Johnny Depp. I hope something terrible happens to you in your career. Ha 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 ha. He's fine. Next, news roundup, pubescent rage and terror. An aspiring cheerleader's mother allegedly tried to hire a hitman to knock off the mother of one of her daughter's competitors. That's right. This is the true story that inspired the allegedly true adventures of the Texas cheerleader murdering mom HBO movie starring Holly Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Which was like, this was from that era of tabloid trash.
Yeah.
Of like almost contemporaneous probably with like Lorena Bobbitt and other freak stories
right.
like that. But here's the little blurb about it. I mean, it is relevant and sassy if it's about a cheerleader maybe getting killed by someone else's mom. But yikes.
Yeah. This is why cheerleading doesn't really pay off. Very dangerous. The survival rate of cheerleaders in the 90s was like 87%, which seems high, but that's a lot of cheerleader deaths when you think about it. For every 100 cheerleaders you know, 13 aren't making it home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in your pom-poms.
Yeah. All right, we got to turn our head 90 degrees for one of the little factoids. Mm. Actually, it's an opinionoid.
It is.
It's unfortunate that the peace sign is the same thing as the V for victory sign, says Sassy, not knowing their history.
Mm-hmm.
It's why it's the same thing.
Mm. They can't know everything. They definitely don't know that. Other things they don't know. I don't need to get into this whole blurb by Andrea, guest commentator, about getting close to Eric Avery, the object of her desires and bass player for Jane's Addiction. I just more want to focus on her headline, which is, "Why am I such a total queer ball spaz head?" Which none yeah. of that is going to pass publication in the year 2025.
No. Yeah, that's a lot of things we don't say anymore.
Sure is. Is it just me or does Eric in this photo they've chosen look like he might be in blackface? Like,
no,
it's very weird.
It's just it's just a high contrast, low key photo.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just the lighting. But what I am asking you mm-hmm. here in my 50 something year,
mm-hmm.
they talk about Eric Avery.
Yeah.
That's the guy from mm-hmm. the band.
Right.
And then they also refer to him as the Rickmeister.
Mm-hmm.
So is Rick cognate with Eric? Is Rick a nickname for Eric?
I
just didn't know it, or are they just doing a thing?
I mean, I think normally Rick is a nickname for Richard.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But, if you're an Eric, I'm sure you could go by Rick okay. if you wanted.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't belaboring under misinformation for the past 5 decades.
Okay. I'm sure there's some Erics that go by Rick.
Rick. Okay. All right. All you Erics out there, 720 Sassy Go, let us know if we can call you Rick.
Please do.
There is a little oval graphic of a tiny little dog, and next to it says Woof. It is about RCA, the record company, running a contest to name its new spokespuppy.
Yep.
Now, they already have Nipper. That's the one from the painting of mm-hmm. the dog looking into the gramophone.
Yeah.
But now they got a little puppy. They're going to scrappy-do this whole situation. And there is a contest to name the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what they eventually named it?
I don't, but I assume you do.
I do. I just thought you might want to guess.
I feel like I may have entered this contest, but wow. I don't even remember what my pick was. I'm sure.
Dog?
I
did not dog? Win.
Dog with 2 G's before Snoop Dogg. Well, if the parent dog or colleague is named Nipper.
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Dipper?
Ooh, very close.
Okay.
Because he's a chip off the old block. He is Chipper.
Chipper. That's not bad.
Yeah. He's dead now, though.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So is RCA, probably.
Probably. The dog got his head stuck in the gramophone and nobody was around to take it out. It's just like a skeleton.
Well, go to page two of What Now? SBIA update. Everyone was waiting. Just kidding. No one gives a shit about the sassiest boy in America. Please, God.
It won't die.
Name another boy. I'm sick of this guy.
Speaking of beings who like to get their heads stuck in gramophones and die.
Honest to God.
This guy, I mean, you know, nobody deserves that. But if that means I can stop reading about it in Sassy Magazine, then...
I feel like even at this point, even he is like, enough. Like, stop paying attention to me.
Let me live in peace.
I'm 26.
Anyway. I'm collecting Social Security.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do bring up the age controversy plaguing Ian. Is he 20 or is he 22? That comes up in the interview that they're talking
about. Better get your story straight.
But I don't care. I don't care about this guy. Stop.
How did Sassy get my spaghetti video? That was a joke for two people out there. What's next?
Whoop-pow! We haven't been doing
our whoop-pow. Oh, yeah, we haven't been doing whoop-pow. So, wait, we're gonna... Whoop-pow! Wait, and then we did that one. Whoop-pow! And then peace sign. Whoop-pow! Group all spaz head. Whoop-pow! Whoop. Whoop-pow! And Sassy's boy alive.
Okay.
Whoop-pow! All right, we're all caught up.
Great.
That wasn't annoying.
Not at all. I think I thought you would just add them in post,
nah.
But okay. It's been a while.
I'm going for
since
a low
we
edit this one.
Yeah, I figured. Sassy
for
Glass,
some reason, it'll be easier to edit this week, but I can't really put my finger on why.
Don't say it again. She heard you last time. Fan, we love you.
Because Fan's not here. Okay, go on.
Sassy glossary definition number 33. Christina writes in tinier text. We've just noticed that we skipped over this number in January. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I
admire their commitment to keeping things on track.
Sure.
That's their whoop-ow.
I guess.
Going back, correcting it.
Yes. This month, the term is the whistle that only dogs hear.
Too many words.
Yeah.
Scrap it.
It's not going to
work. It's not a glossary.
No.
Now you're just explaining prose.
Yes, but...
Sassy prose explanation number one is what they should have been called.
True. But, I mean, they should have just skipped it because the definition is a girl who guys worship and adore for reasons that are not apparent to the female eye. Like, you know what? Let these girls live. They probably... are fine, and you're being a bitch. There, I said it. This has led us to all of the girl-on-girl crime that plagued the 2000s. Mm-hmm. It started right here, so Sassy, there's blood on your hands.
Whoop-pow.
Whoop-pow! Not literal blood, probably.
Mm.
Turning our head 90 degrees again, Ira, the foxy executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, would like anyone who wants a handbook detailing student rights to write to the organization at blah address. I'm sure they're not still there. I did not actually check. I'm not the doc sound. But I did look him up. Ira is Ira Glasser. He was the executive director of the ACLU from 1978 through 2001. That is a long ass time to be running the ACLU. As of 2022, he was still a free speech absolutist with some bad opinions, as all free speech absolutists do have. Not all speech should be protected. It has limits because speech can also cause serious harm.
We're sort of stepping over the fact that Sassy is talking about a civil liberties union director,
mm-hmm.
and they still have to, like, he's a babe.
Say he's foxy.
So that would make him, I think, the world's first cludiff civil liberties union director I'd like to fuck.
Also, we're just taking it on faith that he is foxy. There's no photo.
No. He's got a droopy eye.
I guess.
It's like one of those cats that always got that crap you got to dig out of their eye. Yeah. Guy's hideous.
And that's What Now? Whoop-ow. Listen up! It is time to look at this month's only four.
That's me with a boner.
We know those aren't the lyrics, oh. Dave. They had the rip-out card in the last That's issue right. that taught us what they all were. Hmm. Anyway, yes, that is Losing My Religion from REM's Out of Time.
Losing my what?
Religion.
Oh, okay.
What did I say?
Elmer Fudded that. Religion.
Yeah. I may
Do you
have.
Know what losing my religion actually means? This is one thing about the song that drives me crazy. It's a phrase. It's an idiom.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Losing my religion is like losing your shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
I remember
like,
that.
Oh, fucking God, fucking sitting here, got right. a boner in the corner. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I think I did know that at the time, that it's like losing your grasp on decency or propriety.
It's just, I've had enough of this shit.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's, I think, Southern.
Yeah,
think.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Well, they were.
Yeah, those people always losing their temper down there.
Anyway, Jane, of course, reviews this. She gives it, of course, 5 dots, calls it not just a hit, major hit. Her first line is, I just can't be objective about the greatest band in the world. And she's not. But even giving her that pass, this is a great album.
Yeah.
It's pretty undeniable. This was this is the best period of REM. Their next one was great, too. I think the next one
Automatic
is Monster.
For the People?
No, Automatic for the People is after that.
Oh, okay.
Monster is next, I think.
No.
I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think you are.
Okay.
I think Monster's after Automatic for the People.
Well, they're both great.
To the internet, Tara, let's find out. See who's right. It's got bragging rights.
All
right. Before I lose my religion over this whole thing.
Do 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 beep 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 dee 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 dee.
There's so many people who already know the answer to this.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Automatic for the People was 1992. Monster was 1994.
I am the world's biggest Rapid Eye Movement fan.
You are. New Adventures in Hi-Fi, also a great album.
Is that what it stands for? Is that actually, did they ever, is it like, is it one of the, no, actually, it's like Raisins Everywhere,
no,
Mom.
No. Yeah, that's what it is. You nailed it. Raisins Everywhere, Mom.
That's me in the corner eating my raisins.
When she's right, she's right. She's right this time. So I say, hey, Delilah, I won't be beside you tonight. Oh, Delilah, I can't shake your memory like a dark cloud following me. Wanna drop everything and leave with my Delilah.
In an universe with infinite possibilities, mm-hmm. there is one with monkeys that can write Shakespeare, mm-hmm. but there is not one in which I know who that was.
Yeah.
Nor is there one where if you give me unlimited amount of time, I could come up with the name just by process of elimination using words. Mm-mm. That is Marshall Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. The album is Life Too Short. Don't care about any of that. I just want to say Marshall Crenshaw is the ultimate Hollywood character name for some sort of like disgraced or retired or coming back from retirement from one last job military figure.
Uh-huh.
He is like the guy who comes up to Dutch at the start of Commando. He's like, I need you back in the game, Dutch.
Yeah.
Okay, Marshall Crenshaw.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got to say about that.
What I would add to that is that a movie about that guy could be called Life's Too Short.
That's true. That's the poignant sequel.
How do you name I mean, that's a terrible title.
Just like, wait. I gotta scratch out In Country, right in Life's Too Short.
It's so first thought. Like, it's so dumb to not call an album. It's so forgettable.
Yeah. Oops, I'm Dead would have been better.
Like that song. I mean, I think I've heard that before, and I've heard the name Marshall Crenshaw, but I would have never put those two together.
First time anybody's played that song in at least 25 years.
It does not sound like it should come from a guy named Marshall Crenshaw. I'll say that.
Doesn't sound like something they should be reviewing in Sassy either.
No. I mean, it's pop.
I guess, but it feels like easy listening pop for 32-year-olds while they're working at the office.
That guy should be named Eric Avery, not the guy from Jane's Addiction.
You're absolutely right.
This is the bomb of the month, according to Karen. It is Into the Light from Gloria Estefan, who writes...
Wait, is this Gloria Estefan without the Miami Sound Machine?
I think so. And I think the reason is that a bunch of them died in a bus crash.
Oh, that's right.
And so this is the first album to have come out since that event. Karen writes, my main beef with Gloria is that she's got the kind of voice that at first sounds good, but the more you listen, the more you hear just how strained and pushed it is. Fine. I'm not saying that she deserves to be graded on a curve just because she survived this horrific event that killed a bunch of her colleagues and temporarily paralyzed her also. If an album's bad, you can say it's bad no matter what. Where Karen loses me is the last couple of lines. And she did survive that tabloid perfect tour bus crash. Nah, she still annoys me. Wow. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I have to admire how bitchy that is.
Sure, but put it in your draft.
It really just goes to 12. Yeah. 11 is in the rearview mirror for that one.
It's really, real bad. We'll put a link in the show notes to a report about the crash because it's like not a joke. It's quite serious.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Watch it.
Watch it.
Watch it. First, wow, 5 pips. I shouldn't say this. I've never seen this movie. 5 pips for The Doors.
Never seen it either.
There's just so many things about that production that have warned me away from ever watching it. Number one, The Doors.
It's about The Doors, yeah.
Number two, Oliver Stone doing The Doors.
Uh-huh.
Number three, Val Kilmer doing Jim Morrison in The Doors by Oliver Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot going on there that I don't want to be a part of. Also, I believe it is sort of like a metaphysical take on it somehow. I believe that's part of it. So I don't need smoking whatever in the desert shit in my life about The Doors by Oliver Stone starring Val Kilmer.
I've never had any desire to see this movie.
Just like The Doors are insufferable.
They are.
Really, it's just one of those truths in life. If you like The Doors, we can't be friends.
It's true. And I loved JFK. JFK, the movie before this from Oliver Stone, is one I've seen probably half a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know it's bullshit, probably. It's so watchable, though.
It's very pop bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very snackable.
This was when I worked at the public library and I read every book about the assassination that they had,
yeah,
including the two that were that the movie.
So you
was
think
based
they
on.
Got him?
No.
You think in the end, Kennedy's dead?
Oh, that part? Yes, I do think he's dead. they were successful.
Yeah.
Next, also 5 dots for Paris is Burning, which, I mean, Karen gets me back a little from that bitchy Gloria Estefan review by endorsing Paris is Burning and making sure sassy readers know Madonna did not invent voguing because, you know, she didn't. And this is a great documentary about the subculture that made voguing a thing, the ball culture and all that stuff. If you've never seen it, you should. It's on HBO Max. It's a very breezy watch and you'll learn a lot.
Oh, is that what it's from originally? Ball?
Yeah.
Hmm. I always step right over the fact that one of the people involved is Willie Ninja.
Mm-hmm. Great. It wasn't his given name.
Oh, you don't think?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But House of Ninja is still a going concern. I'm pretty sure they were on Legendary.
Yeah.
Your department, one to watch, is John Leguizamo. In fact, one to watch.
I would say he is.
I agree. We still know who he is today.
Yep. He's the fat guy from Spawn. He's the clown?
Yeah, clown.
Spawn clown? I don't know anything more about that.
That wasn't that long after this either.
No.
Yeah, no, he's still famous. They're making another Ice Age movie now, believe it or not.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
Is he Scrat?
No, he's one of the other guys. Scrat doesn't have a voice.
Yeah, but they would do that kind of thing. Like George Clooney coming in to play the dog on South Park.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I don't. I think that's probably Frank Welker or someone else who does all the animal voices.
Right.
No, he's like some kind of furry thing. I don't know what any of them is called. It's been
too long.
By
furry thing, you mean actually furry thing?
Yes.
Not a furry sexual mascot.
I don't know his life.
Yeah, that's true. He did play a giant clown in Spawn. Who knows what he's into?
I fell off those movies at a certain point. Yeah, John Leguizamo. They talk about his first one-man show, which is called Mambo Mouth, was on Broadway, and it was about various Hispanic characters, and reading that reminded me of Dotcom's one-man show.
Absolutely. 100% was my first thought. This sounds insufferable. Also, yeah. This is Dotcom's backstory.
Totally. John Leguizamo, not only just a still working actor and artist, he also is in the news for calling Dean Cain a, quote, moron for joining ICE and saying, what kind of loser volunteers for that? He's right. That is some horseshit.
Did Dean Cain's arm heal and he was right back at it? Or is he somehow not posting that he's itching to get back to ice with his sweatshirt sling thing? I kind of get out of this, says Dean Cain.
What a load of crap.
Wow.
He's right. Guy is a huge loser and deserves to be called so. But John Leguizamo, fine as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think this is a one-to-watch success story.
For sure. And he is also the shooter in Regarding Henry, which is after this, like just a couple of months.
I'm going to look him up. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you my favorite project of his. Let's do a little thing here. Let's see what he's been in. No matter how small the role, it's not going to be Ice Age, I can tell you that.
No. But what is his character called, since you're pulling up his IMDb?
Let's see. Best known for playing Scrat.
No.
Oh, the clown's name was Violator.
Oh. Don't care for that.
Let's see.
Oh, he's in Smoke. That's also current. The Apple TV.
He plays Sid. I don't know who Sid is in Ice Age.
Sid, right.
Not the elephant. I know the elephant.
No, that's... Yes,
Debra Elephant.
And his elephant wife is Queen Latifah, I think. Oh, he's Bruno from Encanto. That's big.
Oh, yeah.
Bruno of We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Sure. Wow, he's in so many things. I'm scrolling so much. First credit, Madonna Borderline music video.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Oh, he's in Die Hard 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Super Mario Brothers, the first movie. Oh, Carlito's Way. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Also good in Summer of Sam.
He was in Executive Decision.
Nice.
A movie only known for killing off Steven Seagal, who you think is the star of the show in the first like 3 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. So that was fun, but terrible movie otherwise.
I'm going to say The Happening. I don't remember what he did, but The Happening is a great, terrible movie.
Oh, he was in Collateral Damage, the movie they decided to release after 9/11. That was
with Cliff Curtis from Chief of War.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How much of this conversation is going to make it into the edit?
Oh, I mean, I'll cut all the dead space. It'll flow. Don't worry about it. Well, he's in ER. It's not a movie, but he was 12 episodes of ER.
Oh, I have my pick.
All right, hang on. Well, he's in John Wick and in Chapter 2. I guess he was a helper guy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, this is so long.
It's 160 credits.
Wow. All right, I'm done. Okay, what's yours?
Well, I would love to say it's Tu Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. But yeah. I'm going to say playing Toulouse-Lautrec on his knees in Moulin Rouge. And
another,
you?
Another movie I've never seen that everybody talks about. I guess I got to go Carlito's Way out of all these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right for you.
Okay.
Just one pop culture feature this month. It is by Kim, and it is called Baltazar Getty Contemplates the Whole Teen Idol Thing, which he barely was, really. He is 16 and he looked a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
This is post Lord of the Flies. Not much to say about this. You know, he is a Getty from the Getty family. His father is Paul Getty, who was kidnapped in Italy in the 70s, as covered in All the Money in the World and Trust, both.
Mm-hmm.
The FX show Trust, which we watched. It was pretty good. This is pegged to My Heroes Have Always Been Cowboys. It's on Pluto TV if you want to catch yourself up. I would say when Kim gets a little more experience, she'll realize subjects ask interviewers questions to control the conversation, not because they're thoughtful and nice, which is how she interprets it, which is, you know, sort of cute.
Yeah.
We get a mention of past one to watch Chris Young. I guess they were really friends, because when I tried to look for a picture of young Baltazar Getty from this era to put on our socials, there were a lot of him with Chris Young. He did a little more with what he had, I think. They misspell Kiefer, and that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
The only thing I have to say is that 4 years, and I still have to pause and think about it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little easier now because I don't think Getty is really around all that much anymore. But is this Balthazar Getty or is this Liev Schreiber?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, which one is he?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is this?
Yes.
Are they the same person?
Which one is Goon and which one is brothers and sisters?
Exactly.
Who can know?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's he up to these days?
Great question. Let's go back to our friend IMDb.
He's working on the oil rigs?
Yeah, I'm sure he's real hands-on. I mean, the last thing I think I saw him in was probably Brothers and Sisters.
Oh, you know what he is? He's doing that comedy tour, and he's always wearing the hat that says, Gettier Done.
I mean, anything I could tell you now is not going to be better than
that. Lowbrow comedy. Only for very rich people.
Oh, God. He was in Megalopolis. Ooh, buddy.
Boy.
Ooh. Awkward.
What's your favorite Balthazar Getty project? Let's look it up.
Is it the Twin Peaks, The Return?
I'm going to guess it's Young Guns 2.
Mm.
Because the only thing I remember for that movie is, well, first of all, I think he dies really quickly in the film. And I think that his major contribution was giving Billy the Kid a roll of dimes to use in his gun to shoot at somebody.
I don't think that's true. I think he was probably enough of a teen idol at this point that they would want to keep him around. But it's been a few years since I watched it. I certainly
somebody dies really quickly in that movie. I just he, maybe not him.
I did not remember at all that he was in 17 episodes of Alias.
Judge Dredd, the Sylvester Stallone one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of crap.
There's a couple of David Lynch things here, though. That's not bad.
I'm going to give this a pass, this exercise.
Okay.
No winners here.
No winners here. Will this make the edit? Guessing no. Next time, we'll be talking about the fashion, etc. topics of the May 1991 issue. Wear my dress. Try 40 style beauty. Say goodbye to Anne B. And more. For my plug this week, I had to get up at 7 in the morning to watch 3 hours of AKA Charlie Sheen. The most boring man there is. But he is relevant to sassy listeners, so you can read my thoughts on him at Cracked. We'll link it in the show notes.
For Pam's plug, Pam would like to plug purple pills. Sometimes they do work. You can follow Pam at Pamela Ribbon on social, although she doesn't read them, so she'll never reply. You can follow Tara at Tara Ariano. I am cole.fyi on Blue Sky. Also, listen to Sassy for the podcast itself.
You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Dave's already mentioned it a couple of times. You can leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine. We may play it on a future episode. If you don't want to use your phone for whatever reason, you can also just record yourself right in your browser. Listen to sassy.com/hotline. That and so much more, including links to our visual aids, contact info for all of us, is at listentosassy.com. Thank you for listening. More next time.
Bye.
Bye.